Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. In some ways, my guest Jamian Christian is having a typical summer. He's been on the recruiting trail and in the gym getting ready for the start of college basketball season this fall. But Christian also got married just days after being hired away after six seasons at Mount St. Mary's to become the 17th head basketball coach at Siena College. Christian, who's 36, is known for the Mount Mayhem style of play that led the Mount to two NCAA tournaments.
We may get it started the same way. Baseball pass, no, turned it over, and the clock ticks, and the game is over! And Mount St. Mary's is moving on!
And now Siena is hoping Christian can bring the Saints back to the dance for the first time since 2010. Before all of that, Jamie and Christian joins us in the studio. Welcome to the Roundtable.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us on.
How come you wanted to take the head coaching job at Siena?
Well, I mean, Siena's just an amazing place. You know, really fortunate to be able to be the 17th head coach here. And, you know, when you look at places, you're trying to match your personality with places that have a unique skill set. And Siena has that. You know, I'm a person who really, you're very faith-driven. I really care about our players and care about our community. You look at Siena, you get the perfect blend of that. And then you mix in a great basketball tradition. You know, it's not a better place for a college basketball coach looking to grow the game.
In college basketball, there's a lot of moving around. When you take a job like this, what kind of transition do you have to make in your own life?
Oh, man, I've been really fortunate. You know, we have a really prominent alum, Ken Raymond, and his team have really just done a great job of helping my wife and I get acclimated to the area. You know, they've really taken any kind of housing concerns we had and really made sure we were comfortable. And that's the first thing, right? You want you want your family to feel comfortable. You want them to feel happy and feel accepted. And the Siena family and Ken Raymond in particular have done a great job of making sure we felt comfortable. You know, secondly, you want to make sure you're doing a great job with your players. I'm a very player-driven person, player-driven coach. Everything in my life is about trying to find a way to empower them. And you want to be able to spend the right amount of time with them to show them the ways that they can empower themselves, empower those around them, and really, at the end of the day, have an ability to change the world.
How do you like that Route 9 traffic so far?
I've been fortunate enough to, you know, we've been traveling so much in the month of July that I haven't been in traffic too much. But, you know, one of the things that I do each morning, you know, I'm loading up different books each day that I'm listening to. So, you know, traffic doesn't bother me too much because you just have the opportunity to keep getting better in those moments. And, you know, it's not many times during the course of the day you have a chance to really sit down and really gather your thoughts. And, you know, anytime I'm sitting in traffic and I got my books on tape going, you know, I'm just trying to use that as a learning and growing experience.
Let me put in a plug for public radio on your presets, too, while you're in the car. Talk to me about how you go about setting up a program. When you get hired, you're the head coach. You've done it one place before. What do you do when you come to Siena and you're the new guy?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I'm a big person on trying to build in an assessment of the program completely. You know, that usually takes about 2 months, to be honest with you, just trying to assess the strengths and weaknesses of a place, the strengths and weaknesses of a program, you know, maybe potential areas where we're underperforming, but we have the resources to overperform, you know, so it's really just about trying to figure out what those things are. You know, when I come in, everyone comes in, they want to establish like a culture. I call it more of like a way of life. You know, it's really hard to do that in the first 60 days. And if you're not going to listen. And so what we really tried to do as a staff is just try to listen to the people around the program, from alums, from fans, to most importantly, to the players and administration. And, you know, that allowed us, I feel like, to get off to a really strong start because we didn't come in and start banging the drums right away. We came in, we listened, we made a strong assessment. And I think our next few months are going to be really successful because of that.
Well, it's a tradition at Siena of a lot of winning, a lot of big wins over the years, but in the last few years, some struggles. So what have you been hearing during this last couple of months in that process?
Well, you know, the big thing about it is just, you know, understanding the power of the media we have in this area and the different ways of being able to use that. You know, I think, you know, over the years, the power of social media has changed things so much. And I think you have to really, as a program, you have to find a way to use that to your benefit and to make sure your players are understanding how to arm themselves against things within social media. You know, you look at, you know, it's really great to read things about yourself when they're great. But when things turn, you know, they turn that same direction. And just trying to arm our guys with that kind of information. You know, we brought in a meditation specialist, a guy named Greg Graber, who's fantastic. He works for a lot of different teams around here. He's a guy that specializes in helping us reduce our anxiety through the course of the day and really being able to get ourselves centered and being present in the moment. And those things are all extremely important for us for everything moving forward. And I just feel like it was essential to allow our guys to understand that self-awareness is an opportunity for self-growth. And you know, just trying to build that into our environment on a day-to-day basis. It's been special, and you know, I think it's going to allow us to move in the right direction on a day-to-day basis.
You were a college player. How do you think that experience influences the way you go about being a coach?
Well, I always say you either coach how you were coached or you coach how you want it to be coached, you know, and you get an opportunity to decide that. And, you know, I get a chance to coach how I want it to be coached. I want to come to a great environment every day with an opportunity to be around like-minded people who had the same passion, to be around coaches who are passionate about my daily improvement and that are going to hold me accountable. And, you know, that's what we're trying to improve, and that's what we're trying to do every single day. And, you know, being a player helps because, you know, in mid-February, you're going to be really sore. And sometimes if you have a coach who didn't play, he might not understand how sore you are and how your mind is. And so as a player, now I can try to look in and try to build things within our program, you know, in the summertime and in the fall that allow us to have the right level of mental toughness and the right level of physicality that we'll be able to be really strong through the duration of the season.
You know, you just mentioned something that I think a lot of times fans don't pick up on, which is that these are people. They're going through class and struggles and things like that. What's something that a college basketball fan who shows up for the game on Friday night doesn't understand about the program or the players in terms of what happens outside of those 2 hours?
Yeah, you know, they're not only people, they're young people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're growing and they're changing dramatically over their 4 years in college. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, fans, they react. All fans treat players like they're pros. And these guys just aren't. You know, a fan will say, well, how can they make this play or not make that play? Well, the reality of it is they're just not at that developmental stage yet. And our job as a coaching staff and our job as a fan base and a program is to allow enough patience for guys to be able to come the best that they can be by the end of the 4 years. And that's what you get with a college basketball experience. You know, I would say secondly, you know, typical fans may not realize just how much these guys are putting into this. You know, they've been here with us all summer and working and getting after it and really, you know, really doing a great job. But, you know, they spend a lot of time in the gym and they spend a lot of time with each other. They really want to get it right. They really want to win. They really want to be at their best. And I think sometimes, you know, people will forget that. You know, they're not professionals yet. You know, I hope to have a team of guys someday that will be professionals. They're not professionals yet. They're going to make mistakes. They need a level of forgiveness and a level of empathy to allow them to keep growing.
Every interview that you've done since you got the job a few months ago has mentioned how hard they're going to work and get into the gym, all pointing toward this Mayhem system. So could you explain what Mayhem actually looks like on the court for people who haven't seen Mount St. Mary's play?
Yeah, well, you know, Mayhem is essentially, we want to find a way to get the most out of every person in our program. And what Mayhem allows us to do, we're going to play really up-tempo style. It requires a lot of physicality. You know, we're going to pressure full floor for 40 minutes. You know, we're going to play a lot of guys. You know, the ideal part of it is we want to get each guy playing to their maximum before we sub them out. So that allows us to play 8 to 10 guys every single night and keep the energy at a high level. You know, I always describe it as a way that everyone on our team can be involved. You know, you look at the guys on the bench, you look at the guys on the floor, you look at our managers, our strength coach, you look at everyone there, everyone's going to be involved in Mayhem. And, you know, for us to have the intensity level and the passion that's needed in order for us to be really successful, we need every person involved. And Mayhem allows us a chance to do that. You know, we always say, let each become all that he is able. And I feel like our system allows everyone to be able to do that.
You embrace the three-pointer, too. You like to take a bunch of threes. I'm wondering if the change in the shot clock a few years ago from 35 down to 30 had any impact on your approach to shooting the ball on the offensive end.
Yeah, great question. You know, with the three-point, with that changing, what it did, it took our advantage away a little bit more, right? Because we wanted to take a certain number of threes, and, you know, we wanted to take them within the first 20 seconds of the shot clock. And so by them shortening the shot clock, we had to move that almost up a bit just to be able to keep the tempo at the level I wanted to, because by them moving the shot clock, it basically made everyone play faster, which was the goal of it. And so we had to look at that and try to make adjustments. You know, one of the biggest things that we're trying to do, we're trying to stay ahead of any of the trends that are coming. You know, so right now everyone's taking a ton of threes. I'm sure at some point it's going to cycle back to a lot of 2-point dominance. And so we're just trying to do a great job of looking at natural basketball trends and trying to find a way to stay ahead of the curve. And I think that's what the best teams are able to do. You know, that's how you're able to have a dominant style that people aren't used to when they come to play against you is by being a little bit different than everyone else in your league. And so, you know, we're ahead of the curve with how many threes we took a few years ago. Now people are starting to catch up, and we've got to do a great job of keep moving that needle forward and keeping them trying to figure out what we're going to do next.
I'm sure by the time I know about this stuff, it's pretty accepted across college basketball. You don't have to give me any specifics, but how important are analytics in terms of points per possession and so on to the way you game plan, especially in a league like the MAC where Iona has no problem going up and down and they've been very successful?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm 36 years old. I have a really young staff, probably one of the youngest staffs in the country. We do that on purpose. We do that, you know, for a couple of reasons. Number one, for the use of analytics, for the understanding of analytics and the different ways of being able to look at them. I think that's really important. You know, we have a generation of player right now that can understand advanced analytics. So being able to give them those advanced matrix and allow them to understand the different ways that they can improve their game and improve our team, I think are really important. You know, secondly, we have a really younger staff, you know, because our ability to spend time with the guys, our energy towards it becomes really important. And, you know, anytime you're introducing new statistics, it takes time to teach. And we have a staff of guys with energy that are passionate about being able to do that and teach our players. And, you know, it's huge. It's a big part of basketball right now. It's a big part of sports, I guess you should say right now. You have universities creating majors based on sports analytics, and so it's a huge part of it. But, you know, as a person who's done it for a long time, you know, we were on the beginning of it using sports analytics when I was at the Mountain and using very detailed, you know, it's a piece of information, and you can never take away the heart of a person, you know. And sometimes when you're looking at data and you're looking at numbers, it becomes like that person is a thing, and that person's not a thing. You know, that person has a heart, they have a soul, they have a passion, they have a future, and their future, when given a possibility, they become limitless with the things they can do well. And so, you know, it's a piece of information. I think people get caught into it a little bit too much. It's a piece of information. What people are capable of is far more than what we can calculate on a sheet of paper. And I think that's what we try to get into. We try to look at the numbers, but I really try to look deeply into their heart, into their soul, and see, man, what can this person become with this understanding?
With that being said, what are you looking for as you've been on the recruiting trail this summer?
Yeah, well, we're looking for guys with broad shoulders, guys that wanted to, you know, our program's at a place right now. We're looking for guys that have broad shoulders because our program they're coming into, by the time these guys arrive here on campus, it's going to be better. And in their time here, in their 4 years here, it's going to grow exponentially to another level. And so we've got to have guys that have broad shoulders that have the ability to carry the weight of not just where our program is today, but where it can be at 4 years from now. We want guys who have big dreams, guys that dream big. You know, I believe here there's no reason that we shouldn't have an opportunity to play deep into March. So we've got to have people who believe beyond what our record was a year ago, and that believe in themselves enough and believe in those around them enough to know that they have the ability to create a positive change here at Siena. And then, you know, lastly, we call these people high potential individuals. And a high potential individual at HPI is a person who will be successful at whatever they want to do within this life. And we want to surround ourselves with those types of people. You know, when you meet these people, everything becomes better. Your day becomes better. Your programs become better, no matter the job that they have. And we all have these people within our lives. And we've got to surround our program with people like that, people that can walk into the door and can create change within people that we create change within people immediately. And, you know, those are the things that we're looking for. Obviously, someone says, oh, we need guys that can shoot threes. We need guys 6'9", 6'10". Well, you know, those guys are easier to find, the guys that have the talent, the ability. There's a talent quota that's required to put on that jersey every single day. We're going to have a talented enough roster, but we've got to find guys that have great intangibles and that have a great belief in what we can become.
Do you feel that there's some pressure on you? You're the new guy, so it's the honeymoon period. You haven't played any games yet. But as I mentioned before, the Siena fans, they feel like they belong in March.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't really feel pressure. And I haven't in my career as a player, you know, as a coach. You know, all pressure is really internal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all the amount of pressure that you put on yourself. And, you know, only thing we can do on a day-to-day basis is just try to improve every single day. You know, if we do a great job with our guys and allowing them to understand how important love and empathy is and obviously mix that in with a lot of hard work, you know, if we do a great job with the guys, we're going to be in a really good spot. And that's just the reality of it. The things you can control in this life aren't much. And I'm not a person who tries to control all those things. I just try to control the environment that we're creating for the guys, the environment we're creating for our coaching staff. And, you know, it's going to be a great product. You know, we've seen that. You know, I've been at great programs from William & Mary and Bucknell and VCU and at the mound and now here. And so we have a formula that we believe in, and it's not as a cookie cutter as people may believe. You know, it's really about putting every bit of energy and every bit of love that we have into our players on a day-to-day basis, surrounding with people that will do the same thing, getting the most out of them, believing in them, growing their confidence. And when you're able to do that, again, you're limitless on how good you can become.
I have some more basketball questions for you, but first let me reintroduce you. We're talking to Jamie and Christian, the new Siena men's basketball coach, getting ready for the first season. Tell us about yourself. I mean, what was your childhood like? How'd you get into basketball? How'd you find out that this was something you wanted to do?
Yeah, so, I'm really fortunate. You know, my mom was a teacher for 30-plus years, a special education teacher in middle school for 30-plus years. My dad is still teaching and coaching down in Virginia. And so our conversations at the dinner table were very different. You know, my mom is very loving and nurturing, and I think that's why she was a really successful teacher and, you know, working in the field of special education and having a tremendous level of patience and understanding and just really, really taking a detailed look into each one of her students and really feeling successful when they were able to improve on a general skill. And so I'm really fortunate to have that as a mother. You know, my father is a guy who came into Virginia State track and field, was the last guy on the roster, ended up being a 6- or 7-time All-American track and field, and really worked himself into that position. And he's got one of the most elite mindsets of a person that I've ever been around. And so, you know, being at the dinner table with those two people, I mean, I can't imagine a better place to learn how to just try to empower people. And they did a great job empowering people in their lives. And then I have a younger brother who's right now working for the Oklahoma City Thunder and their developmental league team and doing a great job with that. And he's starting his coaching journey, and he's as good as any. Probably had a chance to listen to not only my parents' conversations, but a few too many of my own conversations. And, you know, we're just trying to really help each other out and being a strong family. And, you know, so we grew up outside of New Kent, Virginia, a small country town where it's a great place to raise a family. People pass through. No one really stops there. You know, it's one of those places you either go into Richmond or you're going to Williamsburg, Virginia. But, you know, it just had a great foundation growing up. And, you know, we won a state title as a high school senior and had a great basketball program, played for a great high school coach there. And, you know, I've been really fortunate. I've been around really successful people a lot in my lifetime. And at the time, you might not even realize it. And, you know, just trying to be appreciative of the people that are within your lives and you know, being appreciative of their time and trying to learn from them as much as you can.
And you have a little boy.
I do. I got married. The aforementioned, I got married. And
that must have been some week.
Well, it was an amazing week. You know, I mean, you know, when you look at it, I mean, how many times, you know, you get an opportunity to get married to the love of your life. That doesn't happen very often. And then you have a chance to get a great job in the same week. And so, you know, that experience with my son being he's 6 now, he was 5 then, that experience with having him there, my wife to be with me, will be something that we'll always remember. You know, it's just such an incredible blessing. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people that are dreaming to be a head coach at one Division I school. I've been fortunate enough to be the head coach at 2 now. I've been fortunate to have my son with me on every step of the journey. Every time we win a championship, you see him in my arms. And, you know, and then I've been fortunate to have my wife, Allie, with me as well. And so when you really start looking at life and having a level of appreciation, you know, those pictures from that week and the pictures from this past year are really special.
Let me go back to basketball for a minute. Obviously a lot of this year's schedule will already be set, but as you go forward in scheduling out of conference games, is it going to be a challenge for a league like the MAC to get those good games and to sort of build the RPI? I know in the past there have been a couple years where the MAC has gotten 2 teams into the tournament. Are you thinking of that stuff already?
Well, you know, that's where you have, when you have an analytic background, that stuff really helps because, you know, looking at the RPI and the strength of schedule and how you can get a certain seed in March, that's sort of something that we do well as a staff.
And these quadrant wins.
Right. These different factors when you have a team of young guys that have backgrounds like that, you can really start to try to work through some of that stuff. And, you know, in general, I'm a guy who loves to play good teams. You know, when we've played great teams in the past. I mean, we've played everywhere from at the Mount. We played Arizona, Villanova. We've played just about everybody. Maryland, Georgetown. I mean, you name it, almost on the East Coast. Michigan, Michigan State. You name it on the East Coast, we've basically tried to play them. And, you know, honestly, I've learned so much in those games. You know, when you go up against a guy and you're standing up against Tom Izzo and, you know, you're standing up against Beilein on the other end, you're going to learn a lot, you know, and you know, you if you have that right kind of personality. So, you know, I'm not afraid to step in there, and we're going to build a team of guys that want to play those games. I mean, every one of our recruits says, well, coach, who are we going to play when we get there? And I just tell them, name them who you want to go play, and we'll sign up and go play them. And that's just kind of how I feel about it. You know, let's go play really good teams. Let's learn from the experience. Let's find a way to compete every single play like we try to do against everybody we play. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, there's no question for people who pay attention to the Siena program that the last head coach, Jimmy Patsos, left under a bit of a cloud. So how do you run this program, you know, in a clean way in an era where a lot of times people are hearing about NCAA scandal more than, you know, all the stuff you've been talking about, you know, building good quality people and having them go to class and so on?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think at first you acknowledge it. You know, I've known Coach Patsos for a long time, and you know, I have a lot of respect for what he was able to do here. I mean, I think he had 321 seasons, and, you know, he really worked hard at it. And, you know, the breakups are hard, and that's just sort of the way it goes. And so I can't focus on those things. You know, the biggest thing I can just focus on is just trying to be with our guys and, you know, trying to make sure we get that message out there and that word out there that, you know, we're just working at it at a different direction. Maybe, you know, it's not going to be better. You know, people always say, well, is it, you know, it's just different. It's just going to be different. You know, how we interact, how we speak to each other, how we do things. It's just going to be different. And, you know, time will tell how successful it will be. You know, I happen to believe it has a chance to be wildly successful with how we're going to operate. And, you know, I'm excited for that journey to see where it goes. You know, we're not going to get it right every single time. And no one does. You know, no coach before us got it right every single time. No coach after us will get it right every single time. But you're just trying to put the right effort into it and trying to learn from it as much as possible. And we're just going to do it with a lot of love, a lot of empathy, a lot of caring, and a lot of belief. And that's really the only way I really know how to do it. And we're going to do it that way.
Where's the point range you want your team to be in for a game?
Well, I'd love for us to be able to score 100 points, right? I wish we could score 100 points. You know, typically, you know, and I was actually kind of going through some of these stats for the MAC, you know, this past year. And so one of the things that we try to do is we try to look at it, you know, statistically, you know, over the last 10 years, what have the championship teams been able to average offensively and defensively and where they've had to figure out the rank, usually within a league because coaches don't change over that much, but players do. The constant are the coaches. And so when you have that constant, you can kind of get a gauge of that. And we're still trying to formulate that. I mean, you know, it's a league that really scores the ball. They do a great job scoring the ball, and they have great coaches here. And so just trying to formulate a game plan and a recruiting basis is, hey, you know, maybe we need to score 81 points a game, but maybe the best teams in this conference have scored 72, you know. And so therefore, it says we've got to have a much more defensive mindset. So we're still sort of formulating all that stuff. But, you know, I think typically our teams have been at best when they're around 74 points per game. And then we've always had a really stout defense that's around, you know, 69 points a game. And so I think, you know, looking at teams in my past, I think if we can be somewhere in that area, I think we'll be in a pretty good shape.
Do you have a game plan for an up three possession, couple seconds left, in terms of whether you're going to foul the other team or not? Yeah. And how will you make that decision when the time comes?
Yeah, what a fun. Like, I love that. Like, I love when, like, the game is on the line. It's one of the moments I love.
You like that?
Yeah, I love that.
I'm not even involved, and I'm dying.
I love it. I love when it's, you know, we got to make the right decision, and we got to do it as a group, you know. I always tell our players and our recruits, you know, we're going to be decided by how we do in a 30-second timeout. Right, there's a timeout that's going to be called. It's a tie game, or you're down one or whatever, and we got 30 seconds to get this thing right. And so we're going to really see in that moment if our connectivity is better than the opposing teams, and maybe a little bit of luck in there. So I love those moments. So the first thing I'll tell our team is, oh, how much fun is this? You know, and I'll get a couple guys looking at me crazy, but after a while of that, they understand it's a lot of fun too. You know, statistically, it says that you can really do either, quite honestly. It says you can foul and kind of run the clock down. It says, or you can let it play out. I think it's really like 51-49, I think, in terms of statistically. I'm typically a guy who doesn't like to foul because I'm a big believer. Our teams have always been one of the best in the country at defending the three, another analytical thing, right? So I'm going to say we do what we do best to defend the three. So let's defend that three and take an opportunity from the miss and then go rebound the ball. So typically that's how I've leaned, but there's obviously certain circumstances. Well, you know, maybe it's a little bit better to foul. You know, if you only have four team fouls, then you should foul, right? I mean, it just makes sense to foul.
And make them get it in again.
Exactly. But if it's, you know, 3 seconds left, you're probably going to have to defend. You know, you just got to look at the different situations. But typically we've not fouled.
Do you have to game plan for every scenario like that, you know, heading into a specific matchup, knowing what you're going to do, or is it more of a feel thing for you?
Well, you want to cover that stuff. I'm a big planner.
That's probably why you are where you are.
Yeah, I'm a big planner. So, you know, we'll start building that stuff into our game plan. You know, we start building that stuff into our game plan when we start working with our guys in the summertime. And they might not even know all the little intricacies of the things we're working on. But then when the, you know, when we get close to the season, I'll say, all right, this, we're going to use this kind of defense at this moment, and the guys will be prepared and ready to attack it. I just think it's really important for the, in those moments, you want to look up and know that we've had a plan, that we've worked on it, that we spent time on it. And, you know, even if it's a play call that we've run a billion times and it was not in that particular situation, the guys will have confidence in the play call. And I just want to give them confidence that we're prepared. You know, we've worked for this. We have a great opportunity. You know, let's go have fun right here, and let's work together in this moment. And, you know, I think in those moments we've had some success there and we've had some failures there. You know, it's just the reality of it. You know, it's just better to be up 10 with a minute left. It's just better. But when you're not, you want to grow that confidence in the moment. And then when you're able to do that, you have an opportunity to be successful.
You know, I love following the little guy in college basketball. What did you think of UMBC's big victory over UVA last March Madness? First time a 16 beat a 1 in the tournament.
Well, I was jealous. you know, I was jealous, but they're my good friends there at UMBC. Their athletic director, their head coach, their staff. You know, we really get along well, and we really like them. You know, Ryan Odom played for Tony Shaver. I work for Tony Shaver, and so we have a lot of different connections through that. And you know, it's funny. I told our team early in that year. They asked, "Well, who are we playing in the NCAA tournament?" I said, "We're going to play Virginia." And I said, "They hard hedge ball screens." I said, "That's the team we want to play, right?" And I just felt like the way they defended, I felt like we would have a good chance with them. So when I saw UMBC, I said, "Oh, you guys got a great chance, you know, to pull one." And so I was excited for them. And you know, I think what you'll see now, you're going to see college basketball change. You know, typically, like you remember, like, you know, like Jordan dunking from the free throw line. Well, you know, 10 years later, every kid you watch can jump from the free throw line. And that's sort of how it works. You look at Tiger Woods and how dominant he was in golf. Well, 10 years later, you know, you had these great golfers emerging from the inspiration of another. And you're going to see that with UMBC. And you're going to see these 16 seeds really going in there and feeling great about it. You know, the year before that, we were down 2 to Villanova at the half. I felt great about where we were with that. And, you know, I think you're going to see this gap getting smaller and smaller.
Do you think that's because the, you know, lower end of the bracket's just getting better and better?
Well, you look at the lower end of the bracket, the reality of it is you have guys who've been there for 3 or 4 years and have more experience. And
sometimes they're graduate transfers, too, so they've been around.
Exactly. And one of the things that's different in Virginia is that they didn't have a lot of one-and-dones. You know, they had a lot of guys that were 3 or 4 year guys or fifth-year guys.
But they did have a huge injury, too.
And that was huge for them. And people underestimate, you know, there's a balance that you have with your team. I mean, it's almost like you're literally balancing on a beam, right? And you're trying to keep it, you know, as straight as possible. And when one person goes off it, people don't understand, well, you should be able to step the next person in. But that late in the year, it's really tough. It's really tough to do that, especially with, you know, that was one of their more athletic guys. So he really could make some plays for them that they really needed. And it was just an unfortunate injury for them.
All right, last question. Is this game with UAlbany going to happen this year?
You know, it's at the administrative level now, and so they're working through that stuff. You know, a lot of that stuff was worked on before I even got here. And, you know, we have a game left in our schedule. I think it's a great game for the Capital Region. And, you know, I hope down the road or that we can really get this thing going. I mean, I Will Brown's done a great job there at Albany. And so we've got to do a great job and figure this thing out. But, you know, we'll see. It's at the administrative level right now, which is well above me. We all have bosses.
The decision to make, you would want to play that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great game. I think we got to get all the details together, and I think that's important. I think details of this are important. You know, we're in the Capital Region here, and so, you know, we should play it at a place where everyone can enjoy it and everyone can see it. And, you know, I believe that, and I believe that with our Siena fans believe that as well, and I stand firmly with them with that.
Jamian Christian is the new Siena men's basketball head coach, and he will get started this fall with his first games at Siena after 6 years at Mount St. Mary's. Coach, it's been a real pleasure to have you here for all this time, and as you go forward, I'll just say good luck.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us on. We really appreciate it.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.